Okay, back to the process of personal evangelism, and I hope that this has been a blessing to you, and you've been able to pick up some things along the way. Can we just quickly go through and someone give me some of the processes of personal evangelism? What is the first one?
Sowing the seed.
Secondarily? Hearing. Very good. Thirdly? Yep, Holy Spirit conviction. Fourthly? Yet repentance and faith, all right? And then fifthly, regeneration. Amen. Very good. So this lesson, this portion of the lesson is the last point in the process of personal evangelism. This is the matter of regeneration. Okay, what do we mean by regeneration? Regeneration is that supernatural work that God does in the life of the person who trusts Christ as their personal Savior, that there is indeed a change of life that takes place, okay? Which really sets, one of the things which sets true Christianity apart from religion is that it is truly life transforming from the inside out rather than religion, which seeks to suppress and change from the outside in, and it's very different. And there are many, many wonderful stories that we could look at of changed lives, of people being transformed. And if you're a believer here today, you can say, I know that there's been a change in my life since I trusted Christ. I've never been the same again. And I certainly have my failings. I certainly don't get everything right. And I've done wrong, you know, even as a Christian. But, you know I'm different now because of what Christ has done. When my grandfather was in the war, he had a friend. His name was Doug Tuffin. I'm not sure if anyone here would know him or perhaps have heard of him or know of him. And he was a very vibrant Christian, very outspoken against anything wrong in his time there in the army during the war, friend of my grandfather's, and very much knew the joy of the Lord. And he became a missionary following the war to the Aborigines up in far north Queensland. And it'd get pretty wild up there at times where you have two sides coming at each other with spears. And he would go out amongst them and he would grab their spears and he would break them over his knee and try to dispel the violence. And basically, we're going to stop and we're going to talk about this. We're not going to fight in this way. Well, my dad met a couple of his converts and described them as being these very tall, black, shiny black men who had trusted Christ as their Savior, and how that they were just glowing testimonies of the grace of God. And that is the wonderful transformation of the gospel, how it can change a person to where they are so different from what they used to be. So, this matter of regeneration, page 59 of the notes. Regeneration refers to the supernatural work of God that takes place in an individual when he or she is born again through believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that only God can do. There is no system out there. There is no process, no religion that can bring about this life change. Only the Spirit of God can do this. So this word regeneration, okay, it is a theological term that means born again. Re meaning again, generation meaning birth or creation, okay, the rebirth. And being born again, being transformed, being made new, being made different by the grace of God. Okay, regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit, and I think there's a lot of people don't understand this. And you can try to speak with someone who is perhaps a cultist, like a Mormon, and try to explain to them about how that salvation is not by works, it's by faith. And they say, well, what about James, where faith without works is dead? And they don't seem to understand, know that there is salvation first, okay? There is a change of life, and then works come as a flow on from that, okay? It's a work of the Holy Spirit, and that a lot of people don't understand the matter of regeneration. They just morph into a religion of sorts, or perhaps look to their baptism or something like that. Some scriptures here. Let's see. Let's start up the back. Sister Christina Harvey, could you read John 1, 12 to 13? Brother John Harvey, John 3, 5 to 7. Mrs. Carolyn, John 6, 63. And Sister Corinne, Titus 3, 5, 6. All off the notes there, please, one after the other.
John 1, 12 to 13. But as many as received him, then gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor
Okay, so you can see there, can't we, that this matter of work of regeneration is done about is worked by the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not done by the individual themselves. It's not done by the soul winner or anyone else, but it is by the Spirit of God. Now, this is the key point here, and we'll look at the scriptures. The key point: regeneration is necessary because the heart of man is irredeemably wicked. And if we just go to the Ruffle Row and Tweedy Row, but Jeremiah 17:9, please, Sister Cherise. Psalm 14:2-3, Brother Seth, and Sister Bianca, if you wouldn't mind, Romans 8:7. Then Mr. Curry, Ezekiel 18:31, and Mrs. Curry, 36:26, please. Okay. Okay, so regeneration is necessary because the heart of man is irremediably wicked. Man cannot change his heart, and even if he could, what he actually needs is a new heart. Okay? And a lot of people try to make themselves a new person, okay, but it is a work of God that has to take place in the individual. The act of regeneration is supernatural. Man cannot create life, nor can he create eternal life. He is incapable of regenerating himself. James 1:18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Okay, so try as man might, he cannot make himself a new person. And religions all over are trying to do that, okay, whatever religion it is. So trying to make themselves a better person, whether it be Buddhism or watchtowerism or Mormonism, whole host of them, okay, trying to make yourself somehow a better person or somehow attain something, but it's impossible. It is a work of God to change the person and give them a new heart. Okay, A, the nature of the new birth. Regeneration is defined as the gracious quickening work of the Holy Spirit, whereby he imparts the divine nature and life to the spirit of man. It is accomplished through the word of God and is an instantaneous and eternal change. Let's read that again. Regeneration is defined as the gracious quickening work of the Holy Spirit, whereby he imparts the divine nature and life to the spirit of man. It is accomplished through the word of God and is an instantaneous and eternal change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay. A change, an instantaneous and eternal change where that person, well, they may fail, they may struggle, they are never the same again. One, it imparts a new nature. Regeneration is truly a supernatural miracle. Man plays no part. When a man believes, God performs the work. Okay, you see that? It's not because we did this and this and this that we were saved. It is simply when we, by faith, apart from any effort on our own, turn from our sin in simple faith upon Christ, that is when God does that work within us. God does all the saving, the regenerating, and the changing there. So Christians are partakers of the divine nature. And there's a word missing in this next verse here in the notes, but I added it in. 1 Peter 1:3-4, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, it is the miracle of life, eternal life. In natural regeneration, life is communicated from the natural parents to the child. In regeneration, life is communicated from the Heavenly Father to the child of God. So everyone has a first birth, okay, where they are born physically, born into to physical parents. Then there is the second birth, which is the divine nature. With both births, the child has absolutely nothing to do with the process. In both instances, there is, we see here the natural birth compared with the spiritual birth, a womb. Okay, so physical birth, you have a womb. Okay, spiritually, there is the human heart. Okay, there is a seed physically, okay, as far as the human aspect goes. When it comes to the new birth, you have the Word of God. Okay, then in the physical realm, you have conception. Okay, in the spiritual realm, you have the Spirit's quickening when someone gets saved. In the physical realm, you have a birth. Okay, where a child is brought into the world, and in a spiritual realm, the spiritual realm where someone gets saved, you have regeneration. Okay, where there is new life, which comes about. B, it is a spiritual quickening, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Okay, the spirit of a natural or an unsaved man is dead and separated from God. When we get saved, we get quickened, we become, I think that word there, quickened, that would mean sort of along the lines of made alive, would it, Pastor Simeon? The quickening, that's in Ephesians, being made alive. Yeah, that's right. So there's a spiritual quickening where a person becomes alive and they have new spiritual senses that they did not once have. And things that they used to be able to do, which was no bother to them, now convicts them. Okay, they feel guilt and they feel convicted by the Spirit of God when they do something sinful. And they have new desires within their spiritual. You know, that before the Bible, they weren't interested in the Bible, but now all of a sudden they are. Now, I believe it was C.T. Studd when he got saved, and he said as a young boy, famous cricketer, and he said the Bible, something along these lines, which before was so boring to me, became, I can't remember what it was, but basically one of the most precious things in the world, or something along those lines. It just changed from being so boring just to being something so amazing. So the person has new spiritual senses; they've been quickened. Okay, it is a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Should be old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God does not seek to rework the old man. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, John 3:6. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, Romans 7:18. Now, when you're thinking about houses, okay, you might look at a house, okay, at least if you're that way minded, some people wouldn't want to know about it, but you might look at a house and say, well, this house has got this issue and that issue, and I see it's got this problem, that problem, but we can rip this out and we can change this and we can put this on there and we can nail that and we can pull that out and replace that, we can paint that and we can make it like a new house and somewhere good to live, and we're still going with our house. But anyway, you can renovate a building, okay? You can change a building, but you know, when it comes to the old nature, okay, it's like a house that's for detonation, okay? There's nothing you can do with it, okay? Some houses are too far gone, and that is the way it is with our sinful nature. Our sinful nature is gone. There's nothing good in it. There's nothing that God needs from it. There's nothing we need from it. And we need to be given a new nature, okay? Whereas religions all around the world, they're trying to renovate the old corrupt nature. They're working on a lost cause. And it's only the quickening of the Spirit of God when a person is born again that someone is made new. Okay, every human being needs regeneration, not renovation. It is a new life, Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. The new birth is not the transformation or makeover of the sinner's old life. It is the imparting of a brand new life. Okay, the day you got saved was the day that you became truly alive for the first time, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Sorry, I've just read that section, didn't I? Yes. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. While we're going along the way here, when we get saved, it is to be Christ living through us, not us living through us. Now, a lot of people go back to the old nature to try to live the Christian life, and it was never meant to be that. Okay? Just like I think Jim Berg used the illustration of being, it's about his grandfather, I think it was, could come in from ploughing the field and could say to his wife, I ploughed the field today, okay, yet not I, but the tractor that was under me. Okay? And Christians, we say, I can come and say, we can say, I live today, yet not I, but Christ lived in me. Okay, so just something for free on the way there. Point two, it establishes a new relationship. Regeneration means, means the believer is in Christ. And we'll get back to reading some scriptures. We're up to the Curry Girls. Colossians 3:3, please Mary. John 14:20 and 23. Sister Naomi in Ephesians 3:17. Sharon, sorry, the other way around for the names. And then Brother Ringwalt, please, Galatians 3:26, and Mrs. Ringwalt, John 3:3 to 4, please. Amen. So we are placed into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is in us, we are in him. Okay, so we are in the believer is in Christ, and Christ is in the believer. Galatians 3:26, please. Okay, the believer is in the family of God. Okay, that's a wonderful gift when you get saved, is to have the family of God, and you are in the family of God. You have a new relationship with God, and you have a new relationship with other Christians. Okay, and someone might not have felt they had anything in common with Christians before, and ultimately they didn't when they weren't saved. They get saved, and all of a sudden, they don't have in common what they had with their friends anymore, and they have so much in common with, and sometimes even with their natural family. They haven't got anything much in common with them anymore, sadly. They've got some natural affection there. It doesn't mean they're not loved, but they have a new relationship with people who know Jesus Christ. That's right. When a person gets saved, believes saved, he enters into the kingdom of God. Okay, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Okay, no longer lost. Okay, you've been saved. Just wonderful. Okay, it is such a change, such a transformation, and all that takes place. That person, sometimes a person may get saved and they don't realize all of it. I mean, they know, okay, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. They receive forgiveness. And then, you know, they start to realize, okay, I now have eternal life, okay, no longer going to hell. And then, you know, as it goes on, I've got the family of God, I've got the church of God, I've got the word of God, and God's my father now, and I can never be lost again. And there is just so many things that you are blessed with when you get saved. Point B, the results of regeneration. Okay, Galatians, firstly, it is a changed life. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Okay, and a person cannot have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be unchanged. And when we're talking about the process of personal evangelism, we talk about sowing, we talk about hearing, the conviction of the Spirit of God, repentance and faith, and then fifthly, regeneration. Okay, now we say ultimately only God knows the heart of the person, but if that person has been saved, there will need to be a change. Okay, and a change in some measure doesn't mean that they're necessarily up and sprinting, as it were. Okay, they might be like a newborn, perhaps we can use an illustration of nature, a newborn baby horse, and it's a bit wobbly on its legs and tripping and falling, okay, but there's life there. Okay, so same with the new believer. They may be a bit unsteady, okay. They might have some outbursts, say, of anger or self-focused or whatever it be, but there's a new life there. Secondly, a divine sonship. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That's just amazing, isn't it? To be called the sons or the offspring, as it were, of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that is the thing that takes place. Someone gets saved, and the world doesn't know that person. And it's hard even perhaps for their friends, and they knew their brother or their sister or their friend, and the person gets saved, and you are so different now. You don't laugh at the things you used to laugh at. You don't want to go where you used to go. And they even take it personally because I don't know who you are anymore. Or even perhaps you've experienced it in your workplace, okay? And people just don't get you. They just don't know who you are, what you're about. They just can't understand you. They don't know you. Friend of mine in Sydney. I think he's a fully qualified carpenter. But when he was working, I think as an apprentice, he had another apprentice under him. And in essence, this other young guy said to him, "Goes, he said, I can't remember exactly, but something along these lines. You don't swear. You don't listen to the radio. You're not immoral. You are the weirdest Aussie I have ever met." The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Okay? They didn't know the Lord Jesus. And when we get saved, we have the new nature imparted to us, and they don't know who we are. And they can't figure us out. A divine sonship. That's because you're a child of God, and don't be shocked if you're different. Okay? And if people don't understand you, or whatever, it's not that you should try to be antagonistic or difficult, but if they don't quite understand the way you tick, okay, that's normal. A victory over the world is another result of regeneration, 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And that is a new thing. Whereas before, the world had complete power over the individual, and the person was dominated, okay, and they were dead in trespasses and sins, and when sin said do this, they had to compel, they were compelled to do it as a slave. When a person gets saved, God is able to give victory over the world. Now, if a person claims to be saved, okay, this is the way they've been living their life in the world, and at this point they're supposed to get saved, and there's no change, okay, that's not salvation. Okay, it doesn't mean that the believer doesn't struggle with the world. Okay, Apostle John says in 1 John, love not the world. Okay, and the understanding, I believe, of the Greek construction there is you are loving the world and you need to stop it. A person may capitulate sometimes to the pressure of the world and even fail, okay. But God, by the grace of God, the true believer can have victory over the world, and that's one of the results of regeneration. Fourthly, a changed attitude towards sin. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And when it says here, doth not sin. Okay, the understanding is that of continuous habitual action. Okay, when you to study there the Greek tense, because in the very same book it says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay, so it's foolishness to say we're not sinners or that we don't ever sin, but it's that of habitual action. People living that way, it's a sinful life by nature. By their nature and by practice. But when someone is born again, they may fall into sin at times, but it is no longer their habit and practice to live a life of sin. Okay, the new believer cannot sin habitually like he used to. Okay, he may sin at times, but whereas before he didn't care, now it's a sorrow to him. Okay, it makes him or her sorrowful. Okay, Lord, you know, I just became proud then. Or Lord, you know, I thought that filthy thought, or Lord, I became angry, and it's a sorrow. Okay, there's a changed attitude toward sin. Okay, that which is born of God, okay, so the believer, okay, doth not commit sin. Okay, whereas the old Adamic nature, okay, that is only sinful, may try to do what is right, okay, but there's nothing good in it. So a changed life, a divine sonship, a victory over the world, a changed attitude towards sin, and fifthly, a new love. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And there is a new love that people will have for believers, which they never had before. And there will be people, and they've been saved, and they have saved family members who aren't saved. And again, like I was saying before, it's not that they don't love those family members, they just do not have in common with them what they once did anymore. And they have more affection, okay? They have more in common, and even perhaps a greater love in some aspects for their Christian family. And, you know, they can even be amongst their own flesh and blood and not feel at home. And to feel like a fifth wheel or a square peg in a round hole and that sort of thing when they're around their own flesh and blood, parents, siblings, and then they come to their Christian family and they just slot right in. And they love the brethren. If a person says they've been saved but they don't have a love for other Christians, and they have more in common with people of the world, and they feel happy and comfortable there, and they feel awkward here, and they don't like being around Christians, that's not the result of regeneration. Okay? Because if someone has been saved, they'll have a love for the brethren. May I just say as we're going here, is if someone has, may even be a believer, and if they don't have much love for the family of God, that, I believe, is an indication of where they're at spiritually. Okay? Because if you've been born again, you will love the family of God. So people who aren't that interested in being in church much, not that interested in being around Christians much, that shows a coldness and perhaps a state where they spiritually are not in a necessarily very strong place spiritually, or not in a very good place spiritually if they haven't got a love for believers. So a changed life, a divine sonship, a victory over the world, a changed attitude towards sin, and new love. Sorry, am I speaking like a machine gun? I was talking to my mum last night, and she said, "I think that the audio in one of the messages was sped up a bit." We said, "Oh, you know, it sounded like you'd had coffee." So, anyway, I might just need to be careful just to slow it up. Okay. So, the child of God loves other family members. You think about it, just on that last point, with a natural family. Okay, when children are born into a family, and there is a love for the siblings, one for another, a special love that they have. But why? Because they're part of the one family. Okay, and we can translate that over as an illustration to the spiritual family, is that you, if you have been born into God's family, you'll have a love for your other siblings, your other brothers and sisters which are within that family. Okay, let's have some review before we finish up. Okay, the five elements in personal evangelism, without looking at your notes if you can. Okay. Sowing the seed, secondly. Hearing, yep. Thirdly, conviction of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, repentance and faith in that order, yep. And fifthly, regeneration. So I encourage you, if you haven't already memorized those, try to memorize them or remember them so you know about those elements when you're dealing with someone, okay? That those elements need to be there for someone to get saved. Okay. I'm not sure if people have been doing the review questions. We do have some time to run through the review questions, which would suffice for a good way of reviewing here. Page 63. All right, and perhaps we'll just, if you know the answers, you can say them out loud to me. What three persons have to be involved in the process of leading a soul to Christ? A? The sinner or the one being evangelized, correct. B? The soul winner or soul winners, yep. C, The Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Name the five essential steps in the salvation of a soul. Okay, we just spoke about that. The sowing, the hearing, the conviction, repentance and faith and regeneration. Point three, what act is entirely the responsibility of the soul winner? Sowing the seed. Amen. Number four, what seed is to be sown? The Word of God. Okay, that is predominantly what we go with. Sometimes we can get sidetracked, or people can get sidetracked with evangelism and they more focus on humanitarian aid. Okay, and the humanitarian aid is not wrong, but first and foremost, we go with the gospel seed. There may be humanitarian efforts that come after that, but we go with the gospel, the Word of God. Five, what three things can be done to complement the seed that is sown? A, yes, the preparation of the ground. B, yeah, the cultivation of the ground or of the soil. Yep. C, the watering of the ground. Okay, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, point seven, list four ways men hear the gospel as taught in the parable of the sower. A, momentarily. B, C, and D, which is the one that we want. Okay, eight, what are the four steps to hearing that are given in 2 Timothy 1:12? No. Okay, believed, persuaded, committed. Okay, no, believed, persuaded, committed. Number nine, what is the threefold role of the soul winner in the hearing process? A, yep, by presenting the gospel. That's the facts. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Okay, B, how? Through personal testimony, okay? This is what happened to me, okay? You know, in such and such a place, such and such a time, and this is what took place, and I trusted Christ, and I was saved. C, okay, through scriptural persuasion. Okay, and I can't remember what elucidate is. I think it's someone who's very educated in English. What does elucidate mean? I think it's like to make it more clear. Thanks, Brother Peter. Yeah, there's elucidate. Thanks. Make it more clear through scriptural persuasion. Point 10, what must a sinner have if he or she is to really hear the gospel? An open mind, okay? What do you do with someone who is closed-minded? Doesn't matter what you show them, what you say to them, okay? They don't want to know. All right, so they've got to have an open mind. 11, what part does the Spirit of God play in the hearing process? How is it with regards to us? To something us. Embolden us, okay? Give us boldness, all right? Even though we may be standing there with shaking knees. To empower the word, okay? We need boldness. Back on that point of boldness, I know that in the early days of Northside, I hear my dad talking about doing a home visit and standing there and holding onto the back of the chair, probably so he wouldn't fall over. All right? You're dealing with, you know, I'm not sure if it was that was for the gospel or just for a visit, but, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, reaching out to people, that can be quite scary. So we need the boldness of the Spirit of God, and we need the Spirit of God to take the word home, to make that alive, to speak to that person's heart. 12, define conviction. All right, let me read that for you. Conviction means the realization of and acknowledgement by a sinner that he is exactly all God says he is. Not just, oh yeah, I've done a few little sins, or I'm not perfect, no one is. No, but acknowledgement that I am what God says I am. A sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. And that can stick in someone, people's throats, to admit they're a sinner. One guy said, I'm not a sinner. Even, you know, Aussies, you know, oh, good bloke. Okay, but conviction means the realization of an acknowledgement by a sinner that he's exactly all God says he is. 13, what God-given part of man experiences conviction of sin? The conscience, okay? And that's what makes us different to the animals. I was talking about that in youth group. You know, do you ever, you know, see a pig, you know, lying down feeling sorry that they'd done something wrong? Or, you know, a dog feeling bad that it bit the cat? Oh, we're different to animals. Conviction is the fruit of persuasion, okay? Giving those facts to people, persuading them, and them seeing who they really are in light of the Word of God and what God says they are, who God says they are. 15, give a common statement that does not indicate true conviction. Okay, there's multiple ones, I think several in there. What would be what would something that someone would say which would show they're not really under conviction? Yeah, that's right. So no one's perfect, so I'm certainly not perfect. Okay, I've done a few little sins, you know, but they're not really under conviction. 16. By what two means is conviction produced? Through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Of what three things does the Spirit of God convict men? Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's right. 18, in what two ways can the convicting work of the Holy Spirit be misprized? It can be resisted and rejected. Okay, terrible thing. What is faith? Okay, believing God's word and acting upon it. So, Word of God is saying that Christ died for my sins, tells me I'm a sinner, I need to repent and trust Christ. I believe that, and by faith, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to act upon that by trusting Christ in faith for salvation. Give two scriptural synonyms for saving faith. Believe and receive. Name five things saving faith is not. Mental assent to a set of facts. Okay, just, okay, yeah, I believe that, I agree with that, da-da-da-da. I accept the church's doctrinal statement of faith. It's not a leap in the dark. Okay, we have an informed faith. It's not simply a feeling. You know, I feel I have faith as such. It's not embracing a creed. Okay, you have to agree to all these points. Okay, I think in the Jehovah's Witnesses I heard, I think there's heaps, over 100 things or something you have to subscribe to then be baptized or whatever. Okay, and obviously there's multiplicity of issues there, but it's not embracing a creed. It's trusting Christ by faith for salvation. Okay, it is saving faith is not believing and. Okay, it's not believing on Christ for my salvation, plus trusting my baptism, or plus trusting my church membership, or plus trusting that I'm a good bloke or try to do the right thing. Okay, it's just simple faith, naked faith, we could say, nothing else joined on there. Point 22, define repentance. What's repentance? Amen. A change of mind resulting in a change of action. Okay, sometimes people get hung up and say, repentance is a work. No, it's not a work. Okay, but there will be fruit of repentance, which the fruit of repentance is works. Okay, but not repentance itself. Okay, you've got to get down to that detail. It in and of itself is not a work. What is the great omission? Could we call the great omission? Repentance. Repentance being left out of gospel presentations. Okay, it's easier sometimes to try to talk with someone and less offensive, just to try to lead them through some points and lead them through to a prayer, but not really deal with the matter of sin and of turning from our own way to God. But we need to be careful not to leave repentance out. Okay, what are four things that repentance is not? Self-reformation, me cleaning up my life to make me acceptable. What else? Remorse, okay? Me feeling sorry that I'm caught or feeling a bit bad about it, but not really wanting to turn away from it, okay? Yeah, I've got some regrets for what I've done, but I had a lot of fun as well, okay? That's not repentance. It's not mere belief, okay? Bible speaks about repentance and faith, okay? It's not faith and faith, it's repentance and faith. It's not merely belief, okay? Repentance is from sin in general, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance from sin toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it is not yielding 100% to Christ, okay, that someone can go into throughout their whole life and make sure every area is perfectly surrendered, okay? It's in general we are repenting and turning to Christ. What is Lordship salvation? Let me just read that. The teaching that in order to be saved, a lost person must turn from all his sins and yield himself totally to the Lord Jesus Christ, a task that is an absolute impossibility for any sin to do. What is regeneration? Let me read that for you too. The supernatural work of God that takes place in an individual when he or she is born again through believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Illustrate the new birth using the analogy of the natural birth. The womb is human heart, seed, conception, birth. Good. Okay, the six key points of the lecture are these. Sowing the seed is the responsibility of the Christian. B, a sinner will hear the gospel from the mouth of the soul winner, but at some point he must hear the gospel in his heart from the voice of the Holy Ghost. Okay, it's the Spirit of God that's got to take this home to the person. C, in the process of salvation, conviction means the realization of an acknowledgement by a sinner that he is exactly all God says he is. Okay, D, faith is believing God's word and acting upon it. E, repentance is a change of mind resulting in a change of action. And F, regeneration is necessary because the heart of man is irredeemably wicked. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we've been able to share, Lord, in your word. Help us, Lord, make us to be fishers of men. Lord, you told the disciples to follow you, you would make them fishers of men. I pray, Father, that you would make each one of us that, Lord. Give us your boldness, Lord, and Lord, your wisdom, Lord, your grace, enable us, Lord, to go in faith and to start sharing with others, Lord, if we are not already. If we are, Lord, to continue to do so by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.